Welcome to Answers May Vary. Each week, we listen to your dilemmas and try to come up with workable solutions you can put into place to start improving your teaching life today. I'm Kate Harkins.
And I'm Stephanie Handley.
And together with you, we're Three Heads. Today's dilemma: I feel like I'm trying something new every single time I assign writing. I admire that you're trying something different. And I don't feel like any of it is working. What suggestions do you have for practical strategies to help a wide variety of students be successful? It's good that you're trying different things.
Yes.
Because I know very few English teachers who feel confident in teaching writing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you are not alone. Like, that has been us through our whole career, trying to figure out what is going to work.
Yeah. Our tendency as teachers, when we are new teachers, our tendency is to under-explain everything.
Yeah.
We under-explain our expectations. We under-explain our assignments. We assume that our students know more than they do, at the high school level, at least.
Yeah.
And I think part of that comes from our own experiences. I know very few English teachers who really dislike the subject of English and reading and writing, and they were not good at it, but they became English teachers anyway.
Why would you do such a thing?
We tend to teach things that we naturally have an interest in, that we're good at, that we've had good experiences with, that people have told us we're naturally good at it. And so I think we tend to assume that we're teaching more students who are like us than we are in reality.
That was really hard for me when I first started teaching. I remember someone asking me how I brainstormed. And I was like, I don't know. I just like scribble some words on a paper and then I write the essay. It really made me step back for a second because it felt so automatic to me that it was like, I don't know. Like, I just do it. I had to really think through, like, okay, what is it that I'm doing that's happening lightning fast in my brain? How do I break that down into steps for someone who has no idea?
Yeah.
And I think another thing that contributes to us under explaining when we start is we go through our credential programs and the model lessons we get are obviously the best of the best, right? They're not trying to show us the basic standard lesson. They're showing us these really interesting high engagement activities. Maybe it's the newest research. And those things are great, but a lot of times we don't realize that our students, and why would we? You know, we've just been told through our education that this is grade level appropriate. And it takes the experience to recognize, oh, no, many students are not at this level yet.
As much as I think it's great to try something new and different each time, there's also value in choosing something and sticking with it in order to let students practice that multiple times.
Yeah.
Students need repetition, and they need repetition in everything, in their foreign language classes and their math classes, and they need it in their English classes too. And we can't assign as much writing as students need because it's practically impossible to grade as much as they would need to do.
Yeah.
And so I would say get away from trying something new every single time you assign writing and maybe try something new each year or each semester, but give your students a couple of times of trying so that you can, you as the teacher, can actually get some indicator of whether or not they're making progress in that scaffold that you've given them, because they do need that practice. Nobody is a naturally good writer.
No. And recognize the value in that practice, because I think that we feel as teachers, we have to be engaging, and that means we can't be boring, and that means we can't do the same thing more than once, but you can. Mm-hmm. And it's actually helpful to students to know what to expect and to have some kind of consistency.
Yeah. Like Stephanie said, it's very hard to teach writing. I think it's probably the hardest part of teaching English. Mm-hmm. I think part of it comes because there is no one way to teach writing. And not every student is going to respond to the way that you are teaching it.
Yeah.
But it's also difficult to create different ways to approach writing. I remember when I first became a teacher in my school district, the ABC strategy was very popular. So it was attack the prompt, which was you circle your verbs. Those go on a T chart. Your verbs go on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, it was the task. What are you being asked to do? That was to make sure that you wrote everything that was required. And then the brainstorm was very broad, and it was like, brainstorm your ideas. And that was it. And there's a big space. And then the C was choose the order that you're going to talk about your ideas. Well, that big brainstorm space is very overwhelming for students. Yeah. Because that's where all the hard work comes, and they don't necessarily know how to do it. And saying choose the method that works best for you, they don't really know what method works best for them. And just sort of teaching them like a bubble map or something is not really going to get the results that you want to see at the end.
Yeah.
And so I think that when you say that the ABC strategy is a great starting point, but when you take that B and you really focus on something, coming up with lots of different ideas, then you want to tailor your brainstorm to be something that's going to generate lots of ideas. Yeah. If you want the brainstorm to be really coming up with sort of like a coherent argument, then you want your brainstorm to be tailored to that need. And what you ask them to do should be very explicit.
Yeah. And guiding them through that thinking process, because they do need help. If they have any chance of getting past a very superficial argument, like they need help extending their ideas. I've been working with a lot of one-on-one students on personal statements. And I mean, the ability to reflect and elaborate on their own lives is so limited. And here we're asking them to do that about these large scale issues, which that kind of reminded me when you were talking about how hard it is to teach writing. I mean, the ideal way to do it is one-on-one, and that's not practical in any kind of classroom setting.
Yeah. I think that when you have that sort of prompt level brainstorm choose, so that choosing the order, I think students have a tendency to be like 1, 2, 3 and not really think about why would you want to put thought into how you construct your writing. I think the more we explain things and you're going to feel like it's over-explaining, but the more we explain things, the more we demystify writing, it becomes more accessible to our students. And I think lots of times we have a tendency to think we don't want formulaic writing. Yeah. We don't want first, second, that kind of thing. But you have to have that before you can move beyond it.
And when students have had all kinds of different variety of exposure to writing before they get to you, you can't assume that they all have that basic formulaic writing. And for some students, that's all they need, you know? I mean, yes, we have students who, we would love it to have students who are going to be writers and creative writers and fantastic. And we do get those once in a while. And sometimes we're able to work more one-on-one with them, or they respond really well to their personal feedback. But for many students, a functional 5-paragraph essay will get them by just fine in life. And so helping them to really master that skill is the better use of your class time, your limited class time, than trying to teach them all to have their own voice and style and that, and then kind of missing some of the other things.
Yeah. Lots of times we have a tendency to want to jump into that voice and style, but it's like you have to have some content there to start with before we can focus on voice and style.
And really, even most rubrics are set up to where a student could get, like, I know the College Board rubric is out of 6. You could get a 5 out of 6 with no voice and style.
Right.
And so that 6th point is really that icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. And so I think that really, like, let's make sure they're good at the skeleton before we throw the other stuff on top.
Again, if you're practicing a similar structure multiple times, you're going to be more likely to be able to pull the scaffolds away as students demonstrate their proficiency. So start with your sentence by sentence directions. Start with sentence frames for students. And then when they're showing you, okay, we can do this, then I wouldn't say, oh, then take it away. I would say, okay, in 2 paragraphs, you're still going to have sentence by sentence directions. But then in the 3rd paragraph, which looks remarkably like the first 2, I'm going to take that away and move those scaffolds away more gradually.
Yeah.
I think we have a tendency to think, okay, I'll do scaffolds once and then you got it. And it would be sort of like if your parents put you on the bike and they let you have one ride with the training wheels. And then they're like, it's 2 wheels from here on out.
It's true. You know, it can feel like it's inappropriate to use sentence frames at the high school level. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's still a big difference, first of all, between superficially using a sentence frame and thoughtfully and meaningfully using it. And I think there's a long way for them to go in learning to develop their ideas with some of those basic scaffolds, which can also serve as modeling for them. Mm-hmm. And then I think, like Kate said, taking away the scaffolding doesn't have to be like, now you do a whole essay by yourself, but okay, now you don't get sentence frames, but you still have really detailed sentence by sentence instructions. And it can be a much more gradual approach.
Yeah. I think we need to look at their experience with writing over the course of their time in secondary school.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, it's by the time that they're seniors, we want this to all sort of come together. And when we look at it from that perspective, I think that we would feel less pressure to make sure by the end of the year, the students need to know how to do this entire essay. They just get the prompt. If we were to break it down a little bit more and say, okay, in 6th grade, they need to have this. In 7th grade, they need to have that. And I think that if you have good articulation within your school district, or if you're a school that has feeder schools and you work with those schools, that you can develop things like that. Because I think there are very few people who are like, writing, I got that down. I couldn't
so good at it.
Improve. My writing curriculum is perfect. I think most people will be like, yes, I have room for improvement.
Yeah.
But there are things that people are very good at and they can contribute to improving the writing instruction. So I think looking at it in terms of a long, like a long game, which I feel like math seems more willing to do that than English does for whatever reason, or foreign languages. Yeah. I don't think that like your Spanish one teacher
like feels you'll write like an essay by the end of the year.
So I think if we look at it that way, then we have that chance to get students to be really proficient at smaller things so that maybe there's a chance by the time they're seniors, they could focus on, you know, voice and things like that. Whereas if we're trying to teach everything ourselves in 1 year, we're less likely to be able to do.
And really, there's value, I think, in even maybe you don't get to all the essay types. It's kind of set up every year that you're going to write like 4 essays all in a different style. But sometimes that doesn't give room to practice in the same way. And I don't know, we've found more success in kind of literary analysis / argument. Mm-hmm. That you just practice that over and over and over again until you kind of have it down.
Yeah.
Which you may not by the end of the year.
I think also when you come up with a system, whatever that system is, and even if it's not the perfect system, when you let students have that practice with it, we use the 5 C format, which is sort of like a TPAC paragraph, mm-hmm. which is sort of like five different other ways
yeah.
to write a paragraph. Does it create the best paragraph?
No.
Does it create a perfectly functional paragraph?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not the best way, but by letting students practice that and experience some success
yeah.
with it and giving them some tools that they feel like yeah. they can call upon when there are those circumstances where they don't have those scaffolds.
Yeah.
If your school has school-wide writing, for example, or your district has writing, or your state test has an essay element to it, students have this structure to fall back on mm-hmm. and they can use it if they need to. Those students who want to will use it.
Yeah.
And the students who don't want to, either they were never going to right. use it, they don't care, they're not interested, or they're beyond yeah. that, and then let them go free with however they want to approach their writing on that assignment.
Yeah. We've really found valuable about the sentence by sentence structure, whatever you call it. It's kind of the claim, evidence, commentary. There's kind of that building structure, whether you call it a concrete detail and then two pieces of commentary. I think what we've found really helpful is to break those two sentences of commentary up into, for this first one, give some context, make it clear where that quote is coming from. And then in the second one, how does your quote tie back to your claim? And just making it that specific, I think is really helpful for some students because write two sentences of commentary, like that is broken down and mm-hmm. it's more helpful than nothing, but some students don't know what that should look like.
Right.
And so I think it is really helpful. And I think it's a good way to even teach them on those concluding statements, right? To make a connection instead of like just in conclusion and then you mm-hmm. repeat the same thing. And so it can be a really good way to teach them to write more meaningful sentences than they might produce on their own without any sort of scaffolds.
Yeah. So the moral of the story here, over
explain. Yes. And practice.
And practice. And that doesn't mean that you have to practice writing essays
yeah.
all the time. Sometimes you're practicing writing body paragraphs.
Yeah.
Maybe you're practicing writing thesis statements or whatever it is. You don't necessarily have to do the whole process.
Maybe you're using your five sentence paragraph structure to answer a comprehension question in class. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that full, overwhelming process every time.
Don't worry. You are not the only one.
No.
And if somebody is making you think they have it all under control, they're lying.
Or they have some self-reflecting to do.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope something we said resonated with you, that you have something you can put to work in your classroom or something to think about as you move on to your next writing assignment. If you have a dilemma you'd like to talk to us about or you'd like to hear us talk about, email us at hello@threeheads.works. If you want to be notified of our next upload, be sure to follow us. Chat soon.
Bye.